Everybody, huddle up. Live from the Great Dane Pub and Brewing Company, this is the Great Dane Huddle featuring Badgers legend and special guest host, Barry Alvarez.
I'd love to coach a game like that.
Oh, man.
They may not see a pass in the second half. And that was good. That would be the shortest second half in Camp Randall history. I'd run that clock. That game would be over. We'd be home having cocktails at 3:30.
On 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand, alongside former Badgers Derek Engler and Tarek Saleh, here's Alex Gravatt.
Great Dane Huddle live from the Hilldale location. I am Alex Gravatt alongside, well, not Coach Barry Alvarez at the moment. We're figuring out some technical difficulties, but we have Rose Bowl champions Tarek Saleh and Derek Engler. Guys, last week I asked, you know, no Badgers football.
I think we need to get Tarek in that seat. I can't even see him.
We'll do it at the break.
Well, his head is covered by our own view cam.
That's fine.
So the fans should be able to see, I think. Maybe scooch in just a little bit. Perfect. Yeah. All right. This is we're wrangling, you know, headless chickens right now.
I'm on air. We're ready to roll.
What'd you do this weekend, guys?
Basketball.
Yeah.
Sixth grade boys, fourth grade girls.
And so
all weekend.
You didn't watch any of the Heisman ceremonies?
I did not.
No.
Did they get the Heisman choice right?
Probably. Travis Hunter's a heck of a player. I mean, he's probably going to be the second pick overall. I guess you got to get a nuance of who's the best player versus the most impactful. All these things need to be discussed. But, like, I don't know. You know.
It was one of the closest, though, in a long time.
Closest since 2009, yeah.
Yeah.
Who do we got? Ward? Out of Miami, who was, you know,
no.
Oregon quarterback was third place.
Yeah, Boise State.
Yeah, but Ward was invited, wasn't he, to the deal?
I think it was just those three.
So you didn't watch it either.
No,
Alex.
I didn't watch it.
Way to ask the question when you're not there.
You got. I didn't. I was very open last week about not watching any college football, and you guys were dead. Like you had all
the
games.
Give me the players. Give me the final four. Then.
Well,
give me
Running back is special.
Yeah, Ashton.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah.
He's really
special.
Good. So that was my question. Was you know he had a season that was borderline on par with Barry Sanders, and it was one of those questions.
Right?
Do you think that his ability was more than Travis Hunter? We had an office divided today.
So I was torn on this actually, but just because Travis Hunter, which this is just I mean remarkable, able to play both sides of the ball and have an impact.
Mm-hmm.
I just had to go with him. This running back, and not to have a quarterback in this discussion, really. I mean, the Oregon quarterback was there, but, you know, he had no chance. You know, I thought it was a very interesting Heisman race and deserving of both guys. But I thought overall, because of that, playing both sides of the ball, I think Travis Hunter obviously deserved.
I think, you know, him and Shador, they carry that team. Right? And the impact that they have is huge. And so because of the success that they had, I think he deserves it. But obviously the other kid's a great running back, so.
And it's a media voted poll, right? And so the guy who makes the biggest story, yes, Ashton Gentry was fantastic. His like kind of Michael Myers-esque just stand up right behind the quarterback.
Well, and to come out of Boise State, right? And still make a name for yourself like that and be, I mean, Travis Hunter and Colorado and Dion, they're everywhere. You
right.
know, and Shador. I mean, that to me says, I wouldn't be surprised to see how high, because of the trend of NFL running backs this year on different teams, albeit, but really taking their teams to Super Bowl contenders. You know, even our own Josh Jacobs up in Green Bay, but, you know, seeing what Saquon's doing in Philly, of course, and you know, Travis Henry.
Derrick Henry?
Derrick Henry. Travis Hunter.
Travis Hunter is on the mind.
I'm on Tarek's deal right now. Yeah, no, I mean, there's going to be a need, and you know, because the running backs were being dismissed, so I wouldn't be surprised to see him taking top 15.
Yeah, he's probably a casualty of that dilution of running back value.
Right. Well, let's bring it home where we know that no one is disvaluing the running back. Here at Wisconsin, there's been a handful of transfer portal gets. We've got some excitement going on right now, right, with let's list them off for you. Not a lot on the offense outside of Daniel Bryan. That's the big news. He's a quarterback out of San Diego State. Tanner Koziel, I think that's how you say it. He's a tight end from my borderline alma mater, Ball State. I went there for 2 years, transferred here. He did the same thing, it sounds like.
He was he's one of the top number two tight ends in the portal.
In the portal, yeah, he's a dog.
6'7", right?
I think so. He's a big man. He's huge. And then the Badgers went big after defensive linemen, signing three guys.
We signed three defensive linemen.
Three defensive linemen.
I got one, but go ahead.
5.5 sacks for Mason Rieger.
Yep.
Parker Peterson, 5 sacks out of Tulane, and then the University of Tennessee Martin, FCS freshman central All-American defensive tackle, big man, just wreaking havoc for University of Tennessee Martin, Charles Perkins. Now, I was talking to Coach earlier today, and hopefully we can get him on shortly where we can talk a little bit more about this. But he has some hesitation about the amount of change that's going on with this through the transfer portal and the ability to build relationships and that chemistry from year to year. As guys who were around for a while at Wisconsin, do you feel like that's true?
There's no question. I think you and I talked about
the room.
You know, I was driving on the road, had some windshield time from Kohler last week, and talked to a former Badger center and all pro in the NFL with the Dallas Cowboys, Travis Frederick, and we were just talking about, we were trying to wrap our minds around the concept of how do you achieve the team aspect now in college football. It's one thing in the NFL. It's expected. Free agency, you know you're going to lose a third of the locker room almost every year, or at least 25%. You know, for that to happen in the college ranks is really, really strange. And it is going to be, because as we all know, I mean, these are young kids, 18, 19, 20-year-old kids. And to not have that and how you try to, as a head coach and staff, to establish, you know, that team aspect, that is not there. You don't grind. You don't go. You don't have guys that are going to be there 4 or 5 years that went through everything together, for the most part.
A great test case to what you're saying, Derek, is like 1994 season or 93 season, 94 Rose Bowl. Unbelievable cohesiveness, team chemistry. We win the Rose Bowl, right? The next year, basically the whole team except for two captains, which are critical, are back. Plus we have younger guys, and we struggled. We didn't have a great year. Now, we ended up playing the Hall of Fame, the Outback Bowl, beat Duke on a high note, but it wasn't the same chemistry. So even when you had that more of a fixed, like, players that were there, it's hard to recreate success and chemistry year after year to the level that you want to. So to bring all these pieces together and to create chemistry, that's a huge lift.
How do you trust the guy that you're playing next to? Are you going to be here next year?
We can ask the guy who is here for what seems like my entire adult life. Coach Barry Alvarez, it sounds like we've got you on. What's happening? How are we doing with the transfer portal? How you feel about the Heisman? How you doing today, Coach? Coach? We might not have Coach yet. We'll figure that out shortly. But 844-770-3776, that's your way in on the ESPN Madison Talk and text line. Our Great Dane Pub poll question on ESPN Madison's Twitter is, do the Badgers have to fix the defense through the transfer portal? Early returns, 81% say yes, 19% say no. So there's a chance that this can be done in-house, but it looks like the powers that be in-house are saying we need to bring in talent from outside, with three defensive linemen coming to Wisconsin today. Derek, you were talking about trust. It looks like the offensive line has stayed relatively together, and it looks like we haven't gone out and made that a priority. How important is the chemistry along the offensive line? What we do here at Wisconsin, and specifically what we expect to do moving forward with the run-first orientation that we hope the Badgers are going back in?
Well, it's imperative. I mean, you know, I don't, you know, that's one unit where you have five guys that need to work in unison and work together on a repetitive basis, you know, 7 days a week, you know. I mean, literally, just be around each other, know each other. You might not like, you know, the guy next to you, but they respect you because you've went through all of it together. And it's the same with the defensive line. When you're talking about in the trenches especially, it's really, really important. You don't want me guys, selfish guys out there that are just trying to pad maybe their stats so they can hit that transfer portal or go get a bigger NIL package. It's taking everything about the essence and, quite honestly, the honesty, what there was out of college football and athletics, basketball, football mainly.
Well, you know, it's interesting when you say run first. Like, I get it. We gotta have that established line of scrimmage, and we want to run it down their throats. But is it first? I don't know. You know, this is a new generation. How you do that? We just got to be able to step on their throat when we need to. You know, it doesn't mean we have to run the ball first. We just need to be able to run the ball with authority.
I think, Mark, you're spot on. I think we heard that with the new hire and the OC and Coach Grimes talking about establishing an identity, right? That doesn't mean you just run first. That's not an identity. I mean, anybody can do that. It means being physical and having a presence and moving the line of scrimmage, which opens up the passing game. I don't care if it's first down or second or third.
To defend Coach Longo here, we have a personnel deficiency, okay? We didn't have all the Jimmys and Joes that needed to run his offense. I'd argue our running game, our running back, is a part
average,
of it.
Average.
But he's a part of it.
Yeah.
There needs to be an alpha. And he's not an alpha.
But Coach Longo told us, Tark, I mean, never in his entire career, back-to-back years, did he have to deal with a backup quarterback. Both years.
That's tough.
Yeah. That's a coach killer right there.
I'm glad that you bring that up.
And no real number one receiver.
No, but there was talent.
But
there was,
you know what I mean. If you had an NFL
caliber guy.
First three-round guy. It doesn't be a first-round pick, but like a first three-round guy, it would help.
I would argue that we had a lot of talent in that room more than years past.
Yep. But, I mean, in this system, again, we're flying.
You need a quarterback.
We're flying the system ideally is like a, you know, I don't know, like a Ferrari. You know, we used to be like a pickup truck and just run you over, right? But if you're going to run this slick system with all the stuff, you got to give them the tools, right?
Right.
And he didn't have the tools to run the offense that he wanted to run.
No,
in my opinion.
And we talked.
So maybe we should be running that system. But whoever, Coach Fickell, has to make a decision. If what we're going to run, let's get the tools and let's run it the right way.
And the right way to run the ball with, you know, the way that it was described in the RVO, reliable violent offense is what they were calling the new look Badgers, right?
What?
Reliable violent offense. So the way to do that is to have big guys who are you know, diverse in what they're able to do, and I think that Tanner Koziel could be the tight end out of Ball State could be a great addition to the team, someone who can really hammer it home and slip out and make this feel more like Wisconsin.
We are getting after it in that transfer portal. I mean, we've got that's just five guys. We're just getting started too.
You know what? And Tarek's, he's onto something here because I know that's what one of our former coaches, Coach Bielema at Illinois, has publicly said, and that's exactly what he did last year, and he's doing right now. That is where we're at. That's what we have to do. It is the NFL and college football with the uncapped free agency.
Yeah, it's a new paradigm.
Hey, guys.
Hey, Coach.
Oh, we got Coach.
Well, listen, I anticipated what you're going to be talking about, but talking about the portal and our transfers, and I hear you're talking about Brett. The thing about Brett will always adapt. He'll take advantage. Whatever the rules are, he's going to push it. And he's going to understand them completely, and he's going to go out and you know, when you shoot free throws, you put your toe right to the line. And you don't go over it, but you go right to the line. That's what Brett will do. I like the way our staff has been aggressive recently on our transfers. I think we have a place that players want to come. We have a lot to sell, and I hope they keep going, because I see we're losing some guys, but I like the fact, and I like the looks of the guys that we're able to get to transfer in.
That was Coach Alvarez. This is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN.
Well, we're getting more competitive opportunity here. With this, the way the dollars came down, we actually have something to fight with. Like, I don't think, in the years past, last 2 years, I don't know, we spent $1 million. I don't know what the numbers are. The numbers we don't have disclosure of, but I think it's 10% of what we're able to spend this year, because we were given the opportunity to do it, and now you see the coaches getting after it. So I'm excited about what we see, and look forward to the future here.
All right, we'll talk about that a little bit more coming up next. But coming up right now, Janesville Kia, it's located right off Interstate 90. It's only minutes away from Madison. They treat people the way that they'd like to be treated, and that's why they're up over 78% than last year. See for yourself why people all over Wisconsin have experienced the difference at Janesville Kia and told their friends. Come see Kia's groundbreaking lineup of award-winning vehicles with an industry-leading 10-year, 100,000-mile limited warranty. Experience the difference great customer service makes at Janesville Kia today. Coming up next, we're going to talk a little bit more about that Heisman, hear coaches' thoughts on it, and wrap up discussions on the transfer portal. This is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5. Supporting the community has been and always remains a pillar of the Great Dane since they opened in Madison. Since its inception in 1995, Adopt a Family, their largest fundraiser, provides thousands each year in gifts and much-needed supplies to local families. From food and mattresses to coats and toys, this year they're supporting outreach in the LGBTQ community center to ensure more parents and children have the holidays they deserve. Stop in any Great Dane or head to thegreatdanepub.com to get started today. I'm Alex Gravatt alongside Tarek Salah, Derek Engler, and Coach Barry Alvarez. We are talking a little bit about the Badgers recruitment portal, transfer portal, and the Heisman. Coach, we got these guys talking about it, but I'm curious. Do you think they got the Heisman right this year?
I do. I think that was the best player in college football. For someone to be as outstanding on both sides of the ball, be a dominant player on both sides of the ball, has really been impressive. And he's been consistent, not this year, but also in the past. So, yes, I think they got it right.
So Tarek's the closest thing I think we've had to a two-way player, is a guy who went on to play fullback in the NFL. Did you ever have a guy who wanted to play both offense and defense for you?
Yeah, Tarek.
I think we've had a few. We've had a few, but not in a role like he did. I mean, that kid didn't want to leave the field. And, late in the year, he was on the field the majority of the time. So, we had some guys that would go in and may spot the corner and play somebody man, try to lock down. We put Troy Vincent at wide receiver a few times, ran some reverses with him. But just as a spot player on offense – but it was impressive that he was consistent on both sides of the ball on multiple plays.
Hey, why is that hard? Why is that so rare to have a guy who is like that?
Well, number one, the wear and tear on the body. And number two, you have to practice and to split your practice time up. Hmm. You can go over, if you're going to be a defense, if you're working on defense, you got to spend time building chemistry, working on your technique, getting game plans and different things down as far as tendencies, etc. And it's hard to put the same amount of time in on both sides of the ball. That's why most guys that are doing it both ways will go to the other side of the ball for a play or two or specialty plays. But this kid, did more than that.
There's no question, Coach. I mean, without repetition, you have to be a freak of nature, and you got to be smart. Right. You got to be smart too, like you were talking about. You need to be intelligent and understand football on both sides of the of the ball. So, you know, I agree with you. I think he was by far because of that. Even though that, you know, that running back special at Boise State and to come out of Boise State and do what he did, and I wouldn't be surprised if he's a top 15 pick. Now the NFL realizes that running backs are pretty important again. You know, I thought it was the right choice too.
That's the right choice. It does feel like it's been a quarterback's award for much of the recent history, and Wisconsin has been trying to figure out what they're doing at quarterback for a while. I looked it up, and since 2018, the Badgers had Alex Hornibrook starting then. 2019, Jack Cohn. Then for 3 years, Graham Mertz. And then it was Tanner Mordecai and Tyler Van Dyke. Both times that quarterback goes down, and Braden Locke is thrust into a position to start. Now, we've been talking a lot about camaraderie, a lot about chemistry, but are we reaching a time in college football where multiple year starters at quarterback isn't the commonality, or is this just a bit of a fluke for the Badgers as of late, Derek?
Well, I mean, I would defer to Coach, but I unfortunately would have to agree with that, especially at the quarterback position. It's unfortunate, but that's where we're at in college football. It is. It's just. It's it's the farm system to the NFL, always has been, but now we're semi-pro, and we have now unlimited free agency, essentially. So yeah, that's the way it's going to be.
Coach, you were deferred to,
unless it's a quarterback that's a run first quarterback. You know, it's somebody that's that's going to use his feet as much as throw the ball. You know, for dropback guys, I think you're right as far as dropback guys are concerned, Derek. But you know, you still have some people that have option incorporated in their offense and count on their quarterback to run the football. Those aren't NFL type guys in most cases.
So how can the Badgers capitalize on this? Right now, they're going to have a stacked quarterback room, right? They're bringing in Danny O'Neill. They've got Carter Smith, a four-star recruit who decommitted from Michigan. He's from Florida. There's a lot of rumors buzzing around Billy Edwards, the quarterback from Maryland who's leaving Maryland. He skipped his Michigan his Michigan day after visiting Wisconsin. How can the Badgers continue to thrive in this space or start to thrive in this space, landing so many quarterbacks and crowding that room? You were a little curious about that, Derek.
I am, especially when you bring in two transfer guys, because I assume they're all getting paid. And, like, why would one kid come if there was another kid already here? The San Diego State kid's here. Why would the Maryland kid come?
I'll tell you why. Because they're told it's wide open. There is no returning starter. There's no one that knows our offense, for the most part, that's on the roster. The people you're going to compete with are guys just like you that are transferring
that's
in.
So it's a great point, Coach. I was just going to say that. That's a great point. I was just going to say, we're just going back to competition, but they're both getting paid.
Yeah,
no doubt. And I think the other part – go ahead, Coach.
If I were coming in, I'd rather go against someone who doesn't know the system, who starts on – we start on level ground rather than someone who's been there through a camp and been through meetings with the quarterback coach and knows the offense. He's got a head start on you. But you're coming in, you know, the guys that are coming in are transfers, and they're all starting even, and they all have, you know, have a good shot. And, I like the fact that these guys want to come in and compete.
That's awesome. Hey, one more thing on how to develop this and create a model to manage all this. To Coach's point, you know, about a running quarterback, and look at what Texas is doing, right? They bring in Manning kid to run the ball. Tebow came in to run the ball in that kind of a wildcat formation. But that's a way you can get a kid at least acclimated early while he knows that he's sitting behind the guy who's running the offense, and then you bring that guy up to be the guy, and then you got to find another guy. But we got to be able to run the ball at the quarterback position in order to get that young guy in the game.
Absolutely. All right, coming up next, we've got Maggie Munson, part of the Voice in Sport and UW track team. This is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN. Dane Huddle rolls on live from the Hilldale location. You can come on, pull up. We've got the whole ESPN Madison volleyball team. We're all here. They're hanging out having their end of season party because unfortunately the Wisconsin volleyball team did fall short in the final eight, I believe it was. I'm Alex Gravatt alongside Tarek Salah, Derek Engler, Coach Barry Alvarez, and Maggie Munson of the UW track and field team. And fellow Plymouth Panther, how you doing?
Oh, yeah, go Panthers. I'm good. Thank you for having me.
Maggie's from Plymouth, Wisconsin, just like yours truly. And we've got you on here a little bit to talk about, you know, what's going on with the track team. So this year, to provide some context, with the shell going down, which has been part of the track team's practice facility, the track team is left without a place to practice at the time being. Isn't that correct?
That is correct.
Okay. And so how have you and the team been getting around this to begin that practice plan?
Right. So we don't have a shell right now, but we do still have the turf, indoor turf at McLean, which is right next to where the shell stood. So when it's too cold for the distance runners to run outside, we're running laps around the turf. Our throws are throwing on the turf, trying to measure how far they've gone. Pole vault is at the Madison Pole Vault Club on the east side, so they're driving out 30 minutes to go practice. I mean, it's not ideal for them either. They can't do a full vault because the runway is not long enough there. And then sprints are trying to get drills in, do what they can on the turf. We're pretty limited at the moment until we can get a temporary facility to practice in.
All right, so we're limited in. And Tarek, you're kind of involved in this situation as you've got a daughter on the team, correct?
Yes.
Fantastic. And so what is, you know, what have you been hearing about the situation and what's going on your end?
Well, I understand I was working on a temporary facility, and then, you know, that's still in the works, and they're getting closer to that. I think you guys are going to go to Whitewater, maybe?
That's correct, yeah. For the first 2 weeks of January, we're planning for UW-Whitewater, and then hoping that the new facility in Lodi shapes out in the second week of January.
Absolutely. And Coach, as someone who's been, you know, a part of this sort of facilities and management thing, part of things as the athletic director, how important is it for student athletes to have a place to go and practice no matter the sport?
Well, we make a commitment. If we have the sport, we have an a responsibility to provide our student athletes with facilities that allow them to practice so that they can compete at the highest level. And I'm hoping as we design our new facility, the track is kept in mind, and that we build that indoor football facility as well as a track facility or something that is dual purpose where the track athletes can use it and train year round.
Now, Maggie, as you know, we hear this, and absolutely that's, you know, that should be the goal. It feels like you're feeling that the university is falling short on that promise for track athletes in terms of facilities and what is available to you. Is that correct?
That's correct. And we also have reason to believe that this could impact the Title IX performance of the school. So we're measuring Title IX with across three components: equitable participation, equitable scholarship dollars, and equitable treatment. So information from the EADA data website, that stands for Equity in Athletics Disclosure Act, and this is publicly available, anyone can go look that up, shows UW-Madison falling short of 53 roster spots for women than what they're legally required to. And this is what's shown from the data. To prove that they are violating Title IX, they would have to conduct their own internal investigation. But this data does point to some concerning statistics that shows that they could possibly be violating Title IX. So we mentioned 53 roster spots. That's that first prong for participation. When we move to equitable scholarship dollars, we see that in 2022 to 2023, they fell short $738,000 for their women athletes. Year after year, that compounds to quite a bit of money. And then the third prong, equitable treatment, is where we're concerned about the new indoor track. When we see previous facilities, and the shell certainly needed to get replaced. That's it's not a myth. But what they're offering could be a downgrade from the shell. It's not our own place. We're sharing it with football down below. It doesn't provide places for high jump or pole vault. And we just had a multi-athlete win Big Ten title in heptathlon, and she needs a high jump for part of that. So not giving her a place to high jump is horrible. She is a Big Ten champion, and she doesn't have a place to train. So that's that third prong of Title IX, where we're worried about scaling back facilities for a sport that has a large women's roster, and scaling up facilities that are available for predominantly men's sports like football.
Right, and you know, you mentioned that there's been this kind of drop off in quality and things of that nature. We've been talking a lot about how the Badgers have been able to steal players, specifically in football, who are interested in going to Michigan. But as we look across the rest of the Big Ten, it feels like perhaps they've been more equitable and more cognizant of these facilities for track players, specifically in cooler areas. Is that correct?
Yeah, so in Michigan, they have an incredible indoor track. Iowa as well. Minnesota just built one. And those tracks are also competitive facilities, so they can host meets. The proposal right now for Wisconsin's new indoor track is not intended to be a competitive facility. So we would have to continue traveling to Chicago, where we host our home meets, using quotations, because, again, we're traveling 3 hours to go host our own competition. So we've been doing that the past 2 years because the shell just wasn't adequate for high-level competition. But we did have that expectation and the hopes that perhaps we would get a facility where we would no longer have to do that. And with what they're proposing, that's not true. We would have to keep traveling to Chicago.
And so you've brought this up. You and the track and field team and so many supportive alumni have brought that to the university, the athletic director. And what has been the reception of, you know, potentially adding a different facility or changing the way that they're planning out the current one?
Yeah, so I did get to speak with Athletic Director McIntosh last week. Unfortunately, he said he was not interested in starting a capital campaign for an indoor track. We do have a petition going that has over 5,000 signatures. He said even if alumni funds were raised for a track, he wasn't interested in building that. So that was very disappointing to hear.
Yeah, that is disappointing to hear for sure. And as you continue to build out all of these things, it's interesting to hear that there is this pushback. So how are you raising awareness, and what are your hopes for something like this to start to build and fix this issue?
Yeah, we're raising awareness by doing events such as this. We want to make sure that the community knows that they're also involved in this. If you're a Madison local, maybe you've run in the shell over the past 70 years, which it was up. And the shell hosted meets, it hosted Special Olympics events. And when we don't have a competition track, those events are no longer possible. So if you're a Madison runner or looking to stay indoors when it's cold out to keep your fitness and participate in some of those Special Olympics events, this concerns you as well.
Now, Coach, as someone who's been the athletic director and who is really paramount in helping build women's sports in all of the sports here at Madison, how important is it to you personally that every team has the ability to thrive and step up?
Yeah, you know, I always felt like if we have the team, we should give them the wherewithal to be competitive at a high level. And that's facilities, that's equipment, that's coaches, everything that's, you know, a part of and a budget that will allow them to go out and compete at that level. So I don't know. I have not talked to Mac about his thinking, why he is not thinking about, you know, putting a a facility in where you could compete. If you're going to build a new facility, why not build it where it could be a competitive track, or a track where you not only could practice, but have meets and hold competitions there. I think of all the different meets and all the different high schools that came in, and the different schools that came through there and competed in the Shell, which was funky. And then we're building a new place, and you know, you'd like to think that we'd build something that's state of the art, and something that we'd be proud of, and that you could, you know, hold that Midwest meets there and showcase it, and really help our track program excel.
Yeah, and you know, this plan was 5 years in the making. And so, like, when I look at just what we got to do now, we don't have a place to even temporarily go, and you had 5 years to figure it out. That's a tough pill to swallow, you know. So there's several things that need to be addressed and hopefully figured. I know they're working hard on it, but, you know, we got to find the solutions.
That's Tarik Saleh. We've heard from Coach Alvarez.
Well, you know what? I just being on kind of the outside looking in, and obviously – yeah, I got my best buddy over here who has a daughter in the program, and my coach who has a granddaughter in the program. And, you know, to me, I hear Maggie say, we got to go to Whitewater to practice. And I'm kind of scratching my head. And that just doesn't sound right. Doesn't sound like University of Wisconsin athletics. You know, and Tarik, to your point, 5 years. You know, I wish there would have been, you know, and now hearing – you know, and being close to it with you and coach, of course, but the messaging could have been a little bit more forefront, you know, and knowing what's going on or what's the plan. Because obviously things are changing because of NIL. Yeah. I mean, that's the bottom line.
There's a huge challenge there.
Challenge across the country in athletic departments, and coach could probably expand on this. But, you know, it to me, you know, you got to get the communication out there.
Yeah.
Well, you mentioned NIL, and I wanted to talk, Maggie. We had a text conversation. You said there's a lot going on in NIL, and I'd love to hear how NIL is affecting a sport that isn't maybe the top money earner. So how have you experienced as a student athlete NIL in this age?
Right. I think for a lot of non-revenue sports, a lot of our NIL opportunities come in the form of brand deals. We're not going to get paid largely to go transfer schools or to appear at an event. I'd say that NIL for non-revenue sports comes from social media and being active and building up your own brand. It's not coming just because you're excelling, and you do really have to work for it as a non-revenue athlete.
Absolutely.
I put this on the NCAA. I mean, this is a dereliction of duty. It's you could say lack of institutional control. They absolutely dropped the ball on this, and you know there's numerous athletes across revenue and non-revenue sports paying a price for this that's not fair, and Max got to pick it up and figure it out, fairly or unfairly. But the NCAA, I felt like, you know, they turned their back to it. They put no rules in place, and everybody's playing a different levels here. Like we don't know what this market is, and people are being affected by it. So that's really frustrating.
So as we look at it, back at the facilities here, Maggie, what would you like to see the community come together to do to help your cause?
Yeah, I would love to see the community contact the UW Board of Regents, keep contacting the athletic department. We want to see our own competition facility constructed for a track that will sustain the success of our program.
Absolutely. Do you have anything else you'd like to add?
I don't think so. I think we covered it.
Wonderful. Well, thanks so much for your time, Maggie. That is Maggie Munson.
Maggie.
Oh, Coach.
I want to ask Maggie, what does that look like to you? What does that facility look like? You, the one that you would envision?
If I could have my pick of facilities, I would love to see a 200-meter banked track. That's what we compete on at the highest levels. But it also has places for sprints, has a long jump pit that can also be used for triple jump, pole vault pits, and a throws facility. So it can incorporate all events.
What's the price tag on that? Anybody know?
I have a question. Do we have? Is there space? Is there? I think we're planning on putting it, building the new facility where the shell was. Is that correct?
So right now the track is proposed to go above the football field, which would take place where the shell was.
When McLean is.
Yeah.
McLean was. Yeah. Where McLean was coached.
Where McLean and the shell. So you have that.
Correct.
That double, you have a double footprint. Okay.
All right. Well, thank you so much for your time, Maggie Munson, track and cross country.
Thanks so much for having me.
Has competition started yet?
We start January 11th.
11th. All right. And where is that, one of the home meets?
Yep, that'll be in Chicago.
In Chicago.
South side of Chicago.
Yep. South side of Chicago, too. Not even the north side. Wow. All right.
I'm ready.
Thanks so much for your time. I'm sure you two will get to know each other throughout the season. This is the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5 ESPN and Wisconsin On Demand.
Same old place, sweet home, Chicago. Come on, baby, don't you wanna go? Howdy, hey, baby, don't
the Great Dane Huddle rolls on. If you missed any of that last interview with Maggie Munson, track and field and cross country, the voice in sport advocate and just all around good teammate. You can check that ad out, Wisconsin On Demand, or wherever you get your podcasts. I'm Alex Gravatt, alongside Tarek Salah, Derek Engler, and, of course, Coach Barry Alvarez. And we're talking a little bit more about quarterbacks as the Badgers land yet another transfer. Billy Edwards, quarterback. He's a junior from Maryland, uncommitted. He is committed now. He skipped his Michigan day after coming to Wisconsin. Coach, we talked about it a little bit earlier, but I'd love to hear what's attracting all of these quarterbacks to Wisconsin.
Well, I think the fact that there aren't any quarterbacks on campus, so they're going to come in with whoever else we sign, and they're starting on the same level. They're not coming in against somebody that knows the playbook, knows the coaches, knows the lay of the land, has been to school there, and knows where he's living in Madison. They're coming. He's going to come in and compete against guys just like him, brand new, learning the system new, and I think it's very appealing. All of them have, and I'm sure the coaches are telling them, we're going to play the best guy. So if you're not afraid to compete, come on in. That's the way I see it.
Derek, how important is the relationship you have to have with a quarterback as a center? Is the guy gets up under there? Is there, like, certain things that you're –
Well, that's a little personal.
I was going to say –
No, I mean, you know, it's more than just, I mean, the quarterback and the offense and the offensive line, there needs to be a connection there. There needs to be trust on both sides. And it's really hard to do when you get revolving doors. But you know what? If you get a guy that comes in here and wants to compete, wins the job, and has some success, he'll rally the troops quick.
He'll rally the troops quick.
But the guy that wins the job is somebody that one of the things he's going to have to do, he's going to have to build a rapport and somebody that can communicate with that huddle and connect with the guy in that huddle. You're going to have to do that. That's part of the deal.
That's called a field general, G-man.
Field general. And Wisconsin has some talent on the outside. I know, Tark, you were saying that they don't have the number one, right? They don't have that top three NFL draft kind of guy. But
if you're going to throw the ball on every down and stretch the field, you might need that. And if you don't have that, then you better have an alpha running back or, you know, and a healthy quarterback. They didn't have that over the last period. But
the last
now,
years.
If you're able to get an aggregate of healthy, decent guys, you may not. You know, they can make up for the number one stud, right?
To your point, Tark. I would like to. I mean, we've always seen a stable now of backs at Wisconsin. We haven't seen that last couple of years.
No. We haven't seen a stable.
Yeah,
you either have
not
a stable or you have an alpha. One of the two.
Yeah, well, fair enough.
All right, well, I'm going to alpha us right now. We got to get out of here. This has been the Great Dane Huddle on 100.5.
Thanks,
live with
Coach
Barry Alvarez, Tarek Salah, Derek Engler, Maggie Munson. I'm Alex Gravatt. Have a weekend.